You know, so I'm aware. That's why I was just like, man, but when I do my shows, I be so turnt, man. Like,
it's another level. Yeah, with Travis Scott's on stage.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'm not like the guy that got like, you know, I had the backup dancers. I ain't got the drummers and that.
No.
I'm all about the blood. You know, we got to turn up.
The
you know,
blood.
It's all about rage. Blood. Just like
the, who's bleeding on stage?
I mean, you know, I'm not bleeding, but the fans are like
I feel you.
Giving their bodies.
Sure. Like,
what's up, everybody? I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. Today, we're going to do Astro World Part 3. Going back in on Travis Scott one more time. This might be the last one. Hopefully, right? Today's show, and of course, you should listen to Part 1 and 2, because we're not going to retread over that same discussion. Put a link in the show notes for part one and part two. Today, we're going to talk my apology to Travis Scott. Oh my goodness, what's going on? I watched the whole concert. We're going to talk about the symbolism and do a little fact-finding mission on the concert. What really happened? Luciferian symbolism, that big portal to CERN, and the Swiss, the Switzerland Goddard Tunnel ritual from 2016, and Pearl Jam with a little bit of predictive programming worth talking about. So that's on today's show. But first off, let me address a comment I received on my Patreon. Shout out my Patreon people. Someone who I assume was making a joke. I don't know though. I would like to address it. They said, why are the free feed losers getting the shows at the same time? Because when you support me on my supporter feeds, you get early access, right? Usually a day or two, maybe even three before the free feed losers get it. But the, and here's the thing, 99% of the time, that's how it works. But every now and then, like I said, maybe 1% of the time, a couple times a year, roughly, some big breaking event happens and it's time sensitive. And we, you and I, need the information to get out there for the people that need it. People are researching it. People have a short attention span. They have a very short attention span. You got to get them, you got to get their woke levels up while you can. Right? And in some ways, it's, and as you can see, and we'll talk about this today, they're already trying to say, oh, this is QA non-satanic panic. They're already trying to get out in front of it. But I need to get my ideas, well, not my idea, that sounds real douchebaggy. I need to get these ideas and this research out to the public ASAP sometimes. So I hope you can understand. To the Rockfin people, my Rockfin supporters, sorry, no video again, right? This is the third show in a row with no video. I just got my video set up. It'll be back for the next one. We're going to drop the Hocus Pocus film analysis. I keep hyping it. Because it's going to be so good. And you're going to really enjoy the Hocus Pocus film analysis. You thought the Travis Scott thing was blowing minds. Wait till you hear Hocus Pocus. I'm confirming Walt Disney, Illuminati confirm him. Satanic witches, satanic rituals on the movie. You would least suspect. All right, back to Travis Scott. Let's try to whip through this thing, okay? I know a lot of people are getting exhausted with the Travis Scott thing. But the latest, a very strange thing going on. The concert tragedy happened Friday night. Saturday morning, I see it and I say, holy crap, this is what I've been talking about for so many years. I got to do a show. Then TikTok blows up with a million videos from the event, which all are very damning and look very bad for Travis Scott. And then all these conspiracies start flying around because it's, you know, it's a big event. People want questions answered. And on all the social medias, it was conspiracy after conspiracy, right? And they all seemed very true. It all seemed very strange what was going on. Now, just days later, all the mainstream media outlets are talking about this satanic panic and it's all fake. Satanism isn't real. People don't really worship Satan. Which is preposterous, but okay. They, you know, Twitter, I posted all this stuff on my Instagram. Twitter's debunking it, debunking Satanism. Really? Are you really? Are you debunking this? You know exactly what happened. Rolling Stone is in on it. They're doing the same thing. And the list goes on and on. You can look around. Even that Newsweek article that they featured me in was trying to debunk it and say, oh, crazy conspiracy theories. Satanic panic from the 80s is back. Rappers don't worship the devil. And if you saw the image I posted Tuesday night to my Instagram with a grid of 9 different examples of rappers showing us straight up devil horns, straight up devil wings, clearly the devil. Demonic influence. And yet and still, the mainstream media and such, they'll say, well, you know, they're just trying to be edgy. Are they, though? I mean, maybe, right? I'm not saying that that's impossible, that people haven't done it. But I'd argue that there's a spirit of Luciferianism as part of the Great Reset new agenda for the world, the New World Order. That's part of the deal. So that's what I think. And I think there's a lot of good reason to back that up. As we've talked about for so many shows, pick your favorite topic, and that's where it goes. But they're trying, all these mainstream sources, these Rolling Stone and all this, they're trying to protect these massive financial interests that they've got. They've sold their soul to the devil. Because they've invested a ton into Travis Scott and Drake, and they need to make sure their investments and their sponsorship and their ads are right. Big dollars here. Travis Scott's got, what has he got, Reese's Peanut Butter Puff cereal and McDonald's sandwiches, and there's shoes. There's so much at stake here. There's millions and millions of dollars at stake between Travis Scott and Drake. Probably hundreds of millions, honestly. And the way they look at it is they say, how do we protect these assets of ours? I got it. We've got the perfect fall guy, the QAnon nonsense. Let's throw this in that bucket, too. So there you go. So like on one level, they're doing it to protect their finances. On another level, you could argue that there's a spiritual element and they don't want the truth to be seen about their God, Lucifer, and how Lucifer needs blood sacrifice. What else happened since part two? Drake, there was video strippers at the Houston Strip Club releasing videos. He was throwing racks at the strip club after this thing, which is crazy because he released this public statement about how sad he was about everything and all, oh, so tragic, and he wish he would have known. But he must have cheered himself up throwing the monies at the strip club, I guess. And what do I know, right? Maybe the timing is off a little bit. Because they claim that these guys had no idea. No idea whatsoever. Travis Scott, right after, went to the after party with Drake to Dave and Buster's, of all places. But, hey, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, these guys, they had no clue. They had no idea any of this happened. Which raises even more red flags. Like, who are their friends? What are their friends doing? No one told them. Nobody told them. At 9:38 p.m., they declared it a mass casualty event. The show doesn't stop till, what, 10:10 p.m.? Because according to the New York Times, I'm reading the article. I'll read straight from the article. This is from the New York Times, November 7th. The show ended on Friday night, 30 minutes earlier than scheduled, but nearly 40 minutes after a mass casualty event had been declared by city officials. One question surrounding the tragedy was whether the officials could have stopped the show sooner. They said that doing so would have its own perils, including inciting a riot. Which, to be fair, like, maybe, right? Maybe. But, I mean, it's almost unbelievable that they wouldn't have caught wind. I can in some ways believe that Travis Scott and Drake didn't know while they were on stage. Like, you could convince me of that pretty easily. I could say, okay, yeah, a lot of people, it's a big crowd. But to think that they went backstage, you know, I don't know, took a shower, changed their clothes, and got their transportation, went all the way to the club or whatever, the Dave and Buster's club, the video game club. and no one mentioned it. Bullshit. And I mean, this is the new world we live in. The age of censorship where they want to say, like, no, that's crazy conspiratorial thinking. This is what really happened. Oh, did it? Did it really? Kylie Jenner, she was rushed out too. They rushed her out before the show was over. Why? Because it was a mass casualty event. She knew. And apparently she never told Travis Scott. I'm going to read you from the U.S. Sun, which, self-admittedly, I think the Sun is a... Some people would claim that's a sketchy news outlet, but hey, I don't know. The U.S. Sun said this. Kylie Jenner and her daughter Stormy were seen being rushed out of the Astroworld Festival after a fatal crowd surge during Travis Scott's set. Video footage shows the pregnant Keeping Up with the Kardashians star, 24, carrying her 3-year-old daughter as she hurried through crowds of concertgoers in Houston on Friday. A TikTok user shared footage from Kylie's exit with the reality star and her daughter being protected by what looked like several security guards. A panicked attendee could be heard saying, "Oh my God, oh my God," in the background, while safety instructions were announced over the tannoy. Tannoy is like the speakers, right? The PA system. Now, I tried to find... Of course, they didn't have a link to the video in question. So I tried to find that video, and I found what I believe to be the video on YouTube. It could be a different one. But either way, it showed Kylie being escorted out with security. And I actually heard the song Goosebumps playing, which is actually the last song that Travis performed. So in some ways, maybe Kylie was just leaving to, I don't know, beat the traffic. You know, like, you don't want to get stuck in the traffic. Like, to defend her. Maybe. But the criticism is that some of the fans were begging to be saved, to be let out of this mess. And here comes Kylie with her $1 billion in escorts getting out scot-free. That's the claim, right? There's dead bodies stacking up everywhere, and she's like, and they're like, "Hey, you got to get out of here. There's dead bodies everywhere." So she left early. So, you know, whatever. And we're going to talk about the concert some more. I watched the whole thing for you. News releases that prior to the show, there was a security protocol, like a 56-page security document, and they were supposed to use coded language in the case of casualties, in the case of dead people. They're supposed to call them Smurfs, which is disturbing because Smurfs are blue, and that's the idea. It's like the body turns blue, you're dead. Very callous, right? Very cold-blooded. But it begs the question of, well, you had a protocol because there's got to be a plan for when this kind of thing happens, and apparently it was not executed properly. Let's talk about Pearl Jam for a minute. Mm-hmm. Travis Scott released a video for Escape Plan, the song off his new Utopia album. And in the video, he wears a variety of different shirts, one of which is a Pearl Jam shirt. And a TikTok user that I watched the video and then fact-checked was arguing that, well, Travis Scott on the Escape Plan video is wearing the Pearl Jam shirt, and Pearl Jam themselves were artists that had a concert gone bad and 8 people died getting crushed in the concert. And if you fact-check, it was actually 9, not 8. But Travis Scott had 8 casualties as well. And what's curious is that, let me read you from, okay, so during you got to go back to the year 2000, Pearl Jam released an album called Binaural, and they went on a tour for that album, and it ended, the last show was in Denmark, 9 people were crushed to death. And that's when they ended the tour early. And Pearl Jam actually, according to Wikipedia, tried to stop the show and calm down the crowds because they saw it happening. and they were so distraught by it, they wanted to retire after the event. They were cleared of all responsibility, whatever. Now, strangely enough, the crowd size was 50,000 people, just like Travis Scott's. And it was the same thing that happened. The crowd surge happened to get up closer. People got trampled and suffocated. And the people who got trampled were not, they were not easy to get to or easily seen. But the word traveled to security, and Pearl Jam saw the whole thing unfolding, apparently. Which raises the question, did Travis Scott know any of this was happening? I'm going to read you from, this is right from Wiki. It says, some of the concert goers who were lifted over the barrier at the stage told the security about the seriousness of the situation further back. The band, Pearl Jam, was informed and stopped the music and told the crowd to step back. This had an effect, but it still took several more minutes before it was possible to get all the victims. So, very strange, right? Well, now let's look at the artwork for the album Binaural. It's actually a photo from the Hubble telescope for the Hourglass Nebula, but it looks like an 8 with an eye in the center of it. It looks exactly like that. Now, what's even stranger is that Travis Scott on his Instagram, just days before the Astroworld Festival, had an image of him looking up to the skies and pointing to a giant all-seeing eye. And that eye stylistically looks exactly like the eye on the album cover for the Pearl Jam album. Very strange. And then on top of that, the album is called Binaural, and it's the reason is because they recorded it with the binaural beat technique. And this uses both hemispheres of the brain to induce a response in the listener. And the scientists, they'll use it for like sleep or altered states of consciousness or out-of-body experiences, which is why the CIA used it in their Gateway project. They're trying to teach people to teleport through space-time. Which is also very odd, and it connects us into the whole alien agenda, as I wrote about in my two alien books, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. We talked about Project Stargate. Anyway. So that's really odd. The Pearl Jam connection is very strange. And I'll put the images to support what I'm talking about on my Instagram. If you haven't checked that out, I've got a lot of really wild photos about all this stuff over the last week. At Isaac Weishaupt, link in the show notes. Thank you for liking and subscribing. Then there's this, speaking of aliens, in my books, I argue, again, sort of taking the Christian perspective, that the aliens are the fallen angels that they've talked about for hundreds of years. And what's curious is that I actually was on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, a legend in the conspiracy world. Shout out Clyde Lewis, shout out Mr. Gates. But I was on Clyde Lewis, and if you didn't catch it, we talked about Travis Scott. And I talked about his first album, his first track is called Pornography. And the first line, he says this, 9 light years away, just outside of the Kepler solar system, we find ourselves consumed and utterly mesmerized with a story of a young rebel against the system, refusing to conform or comply to the ways of authority. So he tells you right there, he's a rebel from another solar system. He's an alien. He's a fallen angel. He's a rebel against the system, against authority. Who is the rebel angel? It is, of course, Lucifer. According to Twitter and Rolling Stone, that's all made up theory, made up nonsense. Okay, you got it. Because there's the problem. The problem is this fits into the sort of Great Reset, New World Order stuff. They want you to believe science as the end-all, be-all, even though science is just a method. They want you to believe it's a dogma now. It's a doctrine. And the problem with it is it's their science. It's their interpretation of science. will be the guiding wisdom. And this is all part of the plan for hundreds of years from the occultists, from Francis Bacon talking about the New Atlantis. It's the technocracy, because you can't argue with the science, because the scientists are smarter than you. What do you know? Well, the problem is the scientists, they're paid by the corporate oligarchy. The people with the most money pay for these studies. And I'm not saying science is wrong all the time. I mean, clearly science has its place in our world. It's given us some very good things. The problem is when it becomes the new religion, and that's what's happening. And that's why they say, oh, Lucifer, you guys are crazy. Satanic panic. There's no such thing. Okay. All right. You got it. There's also, like, when you look at that big portal that was at the mountain for Travis Scott's set there at Astroworld. Do you recall in 2016, there was this ceremony where they opened up a tunnel through the Swiss Alps? And I covered it on my blog before I had to take all my articles down. But the train obviously goes through the mountain. And this is classic initiation tale. This is no different than going underground. Like, the simplest way of conveying this idea is the Alice in Wonderland story, which was originally called Alice's Adventures Underground. Because this is occult initiation 101. This is the secret societies do. You go underground to consider your own death. You face death and you're reborn with a new knowledge, the gnosis of the wisdom. So I see all these terms constantly in Freemasonry and all these secret societies and Kabbalism and Rosicrucianism and all that. But in that Swiss Goddard tunnel, we saw lots of weird symbolism. We saw a half man, half goat, Pan, who is the embodiment of Saturn, which is a satanic element, which we're going to get to that here in a second. Pan's father is Hermes. Hermes Trismegistus. This is the god, the deity who taught man about magic, the power of magic in ancient Egypt. And Pan is all about embracing the base desires and nature. And Pan is about knowing the dark before you can see the light. That's the big theme of this. That's why the short version of all this is that's why they channel this dark energy. You need the darkness to get to the light. It's the idea behind a sacrifice. I'm going to read to you from Manly P. Hall, Secret Teachings of All Ages. Quote, Pan was a composite creature, the upper part, with the exception of his horns, being human, and the lower part in the form of a goat. The pipes of Pan signify the natural harmony of the spheres, and the god himself is a symbol of Saturn because this planet is enthroned in Capricorn, whose emblem is a goat. So yes, Saturn and Pan the goat are connected. Now keep that in the back pocket, right? I mean, I guess you could ask Rolling Stone. They would tell you, oh, this is all fake. Isaac's making it all up. Okay. You got it, buddy. I think we just got to, like, let the sheep get the calling. We're going to talk about the calling when I got William Ramsey coming on the show soon. We're going to talk about the Order of Nine Angles. And they're all about the sacrifice of humans. It's a satanic group. And these are all facts. None of this is made up. They want you to believe it because they want you to just keep watching, Masked Singer and buying the McDonald's GMO, buy the new shoes made by the sweatshops and the child slave labor. Everything's going to be great. And on the Swiss Goddard Tunnel, they also had the fallen angel, again with the fallen angel symbolism. It was a baby, if you remember, and a dead lamb. And the dead lamb, of course, represents the death of Christ, just like the beginning of the Astroworld concert where the dove came out on fire from Travis Scott. I've also got, we're talking about Saturn, right? Why does that matter? Because Saturn always shows up with these occult events. in different forms, right? Saturn is depicted as a black cube oftentimes. And you see the symbolism on the posters for the astral world. You'll see a poster and it's got Saturn, the planet, on it. I'm going to post it on the Instagram. Check it out. Should you not believe me? And I talked about Saturn more heavily in my two-part analysis of The House That Jack Built, which is a movie. A really dark movie, by the way. But it's all about this initiation ritual through death. Through death, one can find light. That's the theme constantly. And in the movie analysis, we talked about there's a scene where the protagonist is talking about how he was fascinated watching the farmers go through the field, and they would do their calling, their cutting down of the wheat with their scythe, their sickle, which is, of course, Saturn. Saturn is the Grim Reaper shown with the scythe or the sickle. And the reason this is symbolic is because when it's time to harvest the crops, it's time to die. It's the time for death. And Saturn or Kronos, these were the occultists believe in this. If you read Mark Booth's Secret History of the World, he talks about this. Saturn is what they call the necessary evil. Saturn introduced material constructs and limitations with the idea that you quantify something that used to be this sort of infinite thing, and you can quantify it and condense the consciousness. That's why they worship the skull. That's why That's why they always use the skull symbolism, because the skull is the same process. It's actually a dead piece of matter, but without it, man couldn't have evolved and to form a brain and the mind that it needs to think of these higher concepts. So in some ways, death is necessary for life. That's the idea. And that's what Saturn represents. Time. They call him Father Time because time introduces death. The second law of thermodynamics, entropy. And you can go on and on about Saturn. There's a whole fraternity of Saturn, the Brotherhood of Saturn, the Fraternitas Saturni. And they taught a lot of Aleister Crowley ideas. And ironically, it has roots in lodges up in Denmark where the Pearl Jam concert tragedy happened. I'm sure there's no connection, but hey, who knows? But the Brotherhood of Saturn, there's this guy named Gregorius who is teaching humans we're all caught between two polarities of life or creativity, right? Against the polarity of death and destruction. He says there's no good, there's no evil. You need both polarities to evolve and to initiate mankind. And only the elites were supposed to understand this. That's why they can't tell you if there was a blood sacrifice ritual. They can't tell you because you're too stupid to know. That's what Isaac Newton was all about, too. And I think Francis Bacon, too. I think they both had made comments about how, look, these secret teachings are not for the masses. They're too stupid. But the idea is darkness precedes light. Without darkness, there is no light. That's the idea. And that portal, some people have been talking about how this looks like the CERN particle accelerator. And do you remember when they did the Dance of Destruction years ago? They were summoning the goddess Shiva. Which, oh, by the way, there's a statue of Shiva on the outside of the CERN building. When I say these nerds are going to kill us, they're really going to do it. They're going to do their damnedest to kill us. They never ask, should we? They always ask, could we? But yeah, they're doing this. They're summoning Shiva through this video called The Dance of Destruction. You can find it on YouTube. And why would you call Shiva? Shiva's the god of death and destruction. And they want to bring Shiva into our world as an entity, I guess, bringing these entity into our dimension, crossing the veil. They want the destruction. Again, you need the darkness to get the light. You need the destruction to get the life. The light of the light bearer, Lucifer. And this is also in American Horror Story Apocalypse. They have a discussion about, I don't remember which episode, they have a whole discussion about this, about why they're obsessed with killing people. They think they're going to usher in this new spirituality. Through death comes light. Light, of course, analogous to Lucifer. One last thing before we get into the concert. Moloch. I once did a whole analysis on the Fritz Lang film Metropolis. And this is where things get really kind of weird. If you want to get fringy, I know you do. We're always getting fringy on here. In the story, the main character, Freighter, he goes underground because he's chasing Maria, okay? And he chooses this doorway that has a V on it. And the V symbolizes Nodens. Nodens, of course, the god of the abyss. Now, after Freighter goes through the door that has the V on it, he finds this giant Moloch machine eating the worker sheeple for the elites up top. Which is very curious because the Astral World entrance is a big statue of Travis Scott's face and mouth, and you walk through the mouth. And we already talked about how it looked like that painting by Hieronymus Bosch, but it also looked like the Moloch machine from Metropolis. Now, what's curious is that if you listen to my 2019 show about Travis Scott's appearance at the Super Bowl, he comes down from the skies as a fallen angel. And he lands right inside a Maroon 5 set, which had a giant V. So again, are they calling these dark forces from the abyss? Is that what Travis Scott was doing in 2019? All theories, right? How would I know, and how would they reveal it to us? Because according to the Illuminati doctrine, we're not worthy to understand these things. We're just here to be led to slaughter. That's what they believe. Finally, the concert. I say finally. This might be a big chunk here. And actually, you know, let me apologize to you, my dear listener. I actually didn't realize that there was a full HD version of this concert to watch on YouTube when I did the first two shows. I was like, well, shoot, here I am watching dumb clips. I could have just watched it for myself because that's usually my technique is people always send me videos and I'm like, I got to find the source because you never know what people doctor up, okay? And in some ways, this video on the YouTube, and let me get you the title for it. I'll try to put the link in the show notes so you can watch directly. I'm going to give you some timestamps too. I'm going to give you some timestamps about when these things happen so you can look for yourself. The title you want to look for is Travis Scott, Astral World Festival 2021 Utopia. It's an hour and 12 minutes and 7 seconds with a million ads, by the way. Uploaded by, I don't know who this count is, Uptown Monster. That's the one I watched. I'm sure there's other versions. That's the one I watched, and I'll give you some timestamps of what to look for. But I will also put the screenshots on my Instagram for you to check out for yourself. You know where it is, at Isaac Weishaupt. All right. Okay, so the show, it starts with a countdown. It hits zero. Next thing you know, here comes the burning doves. Because the stage has the big portal in the center and then this giant mountain around it. And the mountain has a ton of big screens on it. It's actually very impressive. But it does, in fact, as reported, start out with a dove on fire leaving the mountain, leaving the portal. Implying that here comes the demons. Here comes demonic Travis Scott. Because the dove represents the Holy Spirit. So here comes Travis Scott. Boom. He shows up. He's in front. He's comes from the portal. And inside the portal, there's also a giant video screen. And you'll see this massive all-seeing eye looking around while he's playing his first track, Escape Plan. So here we are with the all-seeing eyes. There's tons of all-seeing eyes. And also, I did watch the Escape Plan. Let me see if I got the photos. I can talk to you about them. The Escape Plan video, he's got a, and I'll put these in, these, it might take me two posts to get all these images up on Instagram. He's wearing a shirt that says Utopia with an inverted triangle and three all-seeing eyes. There's also a scene where he's on top of this grassy sort of altar-esque sort of scene. And there's a, what do you call it, when they insert like a quick splice of a, kind of like in The Exorcist where they splice Pazuzu in, like a subliminal thing, right? There's a subliminal thing of a black sun, a big black circle. It's the black sun, which, again, another Saturnian reference. And you also see him wearing the Pearl Jam shirt. But yeah, that's all part of the escape plan video, which is the first song he comes out to. And the video I saw, it was apparently streamed from Apple TV, and they're posting tweets from the mouth breathing fans, right? I shouldn't be mean. They're not mouth breathers. Look, I'm a hip hop guy, so like, okay. I've never liked Travis Scott, so I have great taste apparently. And we're gonna talk about that a little bit more too. My personal opinion about Travis Scott's music. We'll get into that. But it was curious because one of the comments was a Travis Scott stan, and he says, "See you on the other side," which is the phrase for the show, as we talked about in episode one. And he even leaves the GOAT logo. Right? The GOAT. Travis Scott is the GOAT. Which, again, is a satanic reference. Now, I get it. It means greatest of all time. I get it. It's sort of like slang now. But it is what it is, right? That goes back to that was the first interpretation of the GOAT was Pan or Satan. They were the first one to make that claim, so. And then we also confirm that the stage design has a big inverted cross going into the portal. Because some people were saying, oh, no, Isaac, that cross, that was from Coachella. And I was like, no, it's not. It's a big mountain. How could it be Coachella? But we confirm it. It's definitely inverted cross, the stage for the performers. And the video says he's, you know, Travis Scott live at the mountain. And some call it the Utopia Mountain. And the mountain is, again, another reference to a cult initiation. I talked about this with my Truman Show analysis, if you heard that one. The film Truman Show, which is a Gnostic tale. And it starts out where Jim Carrey's character talks about going up the mountain. Same goes for The Holy Mountain, the Alejandro Jodorowsky occult film. It's about the initiation. So again, very curious. Lots of commenting about the rage and, here comes the rage. Because apparently, like I said, I'm not a Travis Scott fan. I didn't know all this. But he's known for calling his people ragers. And he's always trying to get people riled up, which was so surprising to me. Because I've heard all of his sort of popular songs on the radio. And they're always so, like, it's like auto-tune. It's kind of like chill. Like, there's no screaming. Doesn't even sound mad. Just sounds like he's kind of doing spoken word. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of boring. But in the concerts, he's going wild. He's screaming. Because he's trying to get the crowd amped up. Which is what the allegations were, is that he's always known for riling people up. Then we see a massive UFO on the video screen. And then we get a look at the back of his shirt. In episode one, we talked a lot about his shirt because it shows a guy in blue going through a doorway and coming out the other side of the doorway as a devil with horns. Now, on the back of that shirt, we get a better look at it. And it has a big eye. It says Fest in 21, which means Astro World Fest 2021. And what kind of looks like Saturn, but I think it's just a dart on that shirt as well. Now, at the 18-minute mark, around there, give or take 10 seconds, you see some, like, a black shirt flying through the air, like someone threw a sweatshirt or something. And I saw some TikTok videos talking about how they think they see spirits flying around, like dark spirits. And I think it was just this, it might be the same exact sweatshirt. Now, during that song, you'll see tons of fire. It looks like hell. It really does. And that's why all the TikTok videos of fans that were in attendance talk about how it felt like they were in hell. Because there's flames everywhere. If you go to 21 minute mark, you'll see the part where he's laughing. And we talked about this because there's a video of him. I think in part two, we talked about this. He kind of stops the, he's between songs and he's got his hands on his knees and he's laughing. Now the video I've seen from the TikTok was from someone further back and you can hear people screaming for help and he's laughing. And I don't know if he heard it or not from where he was at, because the video I saw, you don't really hear anyone screaming like that. And this is the part where he like stops. He's like, hey, there's a guy in the tree. But again, you don't clearly hear people yelling. And I don't know what Travis Scott can hear up on that stage. But the video that I saw didn't show this, didn't have this clear audio of people screaming for help, like the people in the crowd could hear. But yeah, he's like, oh, there's a guy in the tree. He's going to rage. And he says, oh, there's no bystanders at my shows. Everyone's raging. Then he plays the F the Club Up song, which I don't know if he just used that. That was like who was that? Pastor Troy? It's an old song, F the Club Up. Just get people wild in the club. Old people like me. Then at the 24 minute and 50 second mark, he stops the show. This is what's bizarre. And in fact, I'm surprised no one's talked about this. He stops the show to talk about how this artist was in the crowd in like the front row. I think it was Tom Sachs, who, by the way, if you look him up, I guess he's known for conflating violence with his art. I don't know. Anyway, Travis Scott's a big fan, apparently. He's like, oh, you're a legend. Tom Sachs is in the building. And then he calls his security people. He's like, hey, Tom Sachs needs some assistance. Someone come help him. Someone come help him. And I don't know what the assistance was. It almost seems like Tom Sachs was saying, get me the hell out of here. And he gets help exiting. Again, I don't know. I wasn't there. It's what it seems like, though. Then at the 27 minutes and 58 seconds, the camera shows the crowd. And I don't know if they realize what they were filming, but it looks to me like they're making a circle around an injured person. And I'll put that image on the Instagram. Very chilling. Then about a minute later, you definitely see a problem circle of people like being like, whoa, there's someone dead right here in front of us. And they make a big circle around it. It's not a mosh pit. Which is very curious, because just a couple minutes prior to this, Apple TV or whoever stopped posting the tweets. They just stopped showing them all of a sudden. Did they know what was going on? I mean, according to the timeline, it was already called a mass casualty event at this point. Why didn't they stop it? Then at the 29 minute 50 second mark, Travis Scott is between songs. He's looking for ragers and he sees the ambulance. This is that clip you see of him looking at the ambulance like, hey, whoa, what's that? What's that? What's that? And apparently no one tells him yet. He still doesn't know. And then about 30 seconds later, he's like, hey, and this is to defend Travis Scott at this point, okay? Because if you watch this whole, like, 1 minute, it's a clearer context as to what happens. He's between songs. He's like, I need some ragers to get up here on stage. And he's like, wait a minute, what's that ambulance? What's going on? And he says, hey, crowd, if you're good, put your middle finger up. It's almost like he's checking in with the crowd. Like, hey, is there something wrong? Because no one's telling me anything wrong. And he tells, hey, if you're good, put your middle finger up. And everyone does. And I guess he assumes, like, okay, things must be fine. And this is the part where you see the video clip of the two men coming up to him. And he's like, whoa, enough of that or whatever. And I previously postulated, like, are these people that work for him? And they're telling him, hey, there's some bad stuff going on. You need to stop the show. But I don't think that's what this is. I think this is two of the ragers he was asking for. I guess. I don't know. They definitely appear to be more like fans than anything, because he's like, hey, there's an ambulance. Hey, you guys all right? Put your middle fingers up if you're all right. Everyone puts their middle finger up. He's like, all right, cool. All right, cool. And then he's like, all right, let's rage or whatever. And the two people that came up on stage, they jump off the stage. They big ass jump too, by the way. Must have broken ankle or something. So watching that in a correct context, point goes back to Travis Scott. It seemed like he was honestly trying to look out for the people. Like, hey, what's up with the ambulance? Hey, you guys good? Like, that's kind of what it looked like. Then at the 33-minute, 20-second mark, between songs, you hear a lot of screaming. And this is where it doesn't sound good at all. I think you can almost hear stop the show chant. And this is the part where he gets onto that platform that's like a scissor lift or whatever that is. And this is another weird part. I don't have the timestamp, but I'll put this image on the Instagram. In this big-ass crowd, I see one person holding one big-ass cardboard sign. And it says, "We will survive." I said, what the hell? Like, first off, who's doing the cardboard signs at concerts anymore? Like, do they even do that? I don't know. I don't go to concerts. But why that phrase? Why that phrase for Travis Scott? I mean, he doesn't have any, there's no songs named We Will Survive. Was Gloria Gaynor performing? I don't know. But I thought that was really bizarre. Again, another weird point that no one seems to be talking about. I don't know if anyone else actually watched this thing. And then another bad look for Travis Scott at the 37-minute mark, 25 seconds. He's on that scissor lift platform way above the crowd. And directly in eyesight in front of him, I'm talking like 20 meters in front of him, that ambulance is going. The lights are going off. And to be fair, to Travis Scott, because I'm thinking, okay, you've got a high vantage point. You can see the ambulance. It's right in front of you. And don't you have some kind of way to check in to see what's going on? Make sure everything's okay? Because all weekend I've been seeing clips from other concerts and other artists where they seem to have this very keen sense of knowing something's wrong in the crowd. I've seen Logic and Post Malone and Linkin Park, Kurt Cobain, just tons of artists stopping their show and be like, hey, this guy needs help. We're cutting the music. You help him. Which is actually very surprising at how talented they are to do that. But hey, you know what? Maybe Travis Scott's just dumb. Like, that's possible too, right? That doesn't make him a satanic killer. And to be fair to Travis Scott a little bit more, you do see like 10 yellow shirt workers kind of just standing around watching the show. Like, nothing's going on. Like, they're not waving at him like, hey, bro, something's wrong. Which you would think would happen. And around this point, it's like a half hour of trash at this point. It's definitely not the rage part. It's kind of like auto-tune spoken word. 42-minute mark in 18 seconds. This is where he stops the show. This is one of the clips you've seen over and over where he's doing the auto-tune, like humming, chanting for a person who passed out, who's getting crowd surfed out. And ironically, the song he was doing when this happened was a slow song anyway. So it kind of makes sense. He had that weird kind of funeral chant vibe to it. That's what Clyde Lewis was talking about on the show. Was it Monday night that we did? So it makes more sense why he was doing that slow chant. Again, in context of the whole show. And at this point, you can definitely see these workers kind of standing around chilling, like everything's fine. So, like, in some ways, watching the full concert, I'm like, maybe Travis Scott thought everything was fine. I don't know. He plays the Out West song, which is actually a song I like. I like Out West, but he cuts it off. I'm like, damn, that's the best song. And he cut it off like a minute in. 51-minute mark, he plays Antidote. And this is just an example of how bizarre the whole thing is. Like, he's screaming, "Don't you open up that window?" I know, Isaac, don't quit your day job. But, you know, because the song's very kind of chill. It's like, don't you open up that window. And he's screaming it. And I'm like, dude, is this the same artist and the same song? I don't know. It's very strange. 52 minutes and 37 seconds. The ambulance is still in the crowd. I mean, he's got to be curious as to what's going on. Don't you think? And it's so odd to believe that not only during the show did he not see anything wrong, after the show when it wraps up, he still doesn't know anything's wrong. He doesn't even ask anyone, like, hey, what was up with the ambulance in the middle of the crowd? He goes all the way to Drake's after party. They're playing skee ball at Dave and Buster's or whatever. So strange. 54 minutes and 10 seconds, Drake comes out and they do Knife Talk off his new album. 58 minutes and 22 seconds. Drake's like, everyone put up your H's, which this was new to me. Apparently, when you do the devil horns, the Menino Cornudo sign of the devil, you know what I'm talking about. Now that's the H, I guess, for Houston? And is this a big deal? And we're going to take a minute to look at this, because it is kind of a big deal. The hand horns has been co-opted and used a million ways. Some people will tell you it's meant to ward off evil, like the Italian horn, the Mano Cornuto, the Buddhists do it. But we're looking at Satanism. What do the occultists do with this symbol? In terms of witchcraft, it represents the horned god, as you'll see in the Hocus Pocus film analysis that we're going to do. They believe in nature gods, the horned god, the mother goddess. And this argument doesn't really matter because Wicca is more of a, what they call a right-hand path system, seeking unification with the divine versus Satanism, which is more of your left-hand path rebel system. That's the rebel angel stuff, right? Seeking to become God outside of the stream of God's consciousness and the rule-following stuff. Some people would say that the horns refer to Moloch, the bull god, the bull deity of human sacrifice in Mesopotamia. Some people say it represents Pan, the goat, right? The lower nature of man we already talked about. If you read Alexander Hislop's Two Babylons, it goes into detail about all these horn gods. Kenneth Grant, a follower of Aleister Crowley, he has a book called Magical Revival, and he talks about Horus, one of these gods, Horus, and how Horus is instrumental to Crowley's Book of the Law, which is kind of like Crowley's Bible for his Thelema religion, again, dictated to him from a fallen angel, a spirit named Awaz. But anyhow, he says that, quote, the twill or devil concept, set horns, forms the essential mystique of the new aeon. So the horns represents the new age as the lord of the sun. And the sun, of course, represents Luciferianism, the great doctrine to these people. I'm going to read to you from the Magical Revival. Oh, dear. I'm going to read you from Kenneth Grant's Magical Revival. We are on the threshold of profound and far-reaching change. The aeon of horns is the aeon of magic, which is change. But unlike all previous changes in the history of race, in the history of the race, this change will be of cosmic magnitude and it will occur in conformity with will, or alternatively, it will terminate abruptly in chaos and disaster. Those who will courageously, without reference to the limitations of human consciousness, are the true worshipers of Nuit and will partake in the vision of infinity. Basically saying in magical gobbledygoo that it represents the new age. Okay. What about Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan? Truly satanic. If you read the Devil's Notebook, this is what he says. And this is actually very chilling, considering. He says, we can use TV as a potent propaganda machine. The stage is set for the infusion of true satanic philosophy and potent, emotionally inspiring music to accompany the inverted crosses and pentagrams. Instead of holding our rituals in chambers designed for a few dozen people, we are moving into auditoriums crowded with ecstatic Satanists thrusting their fist forward in the sign of the horns. Now, if you don't see the parallels between that and what happened, I don't know what to tell you. We got to talk about inverted crosses, auditoriums crowded with people doing the sign of the horns, is what Drake led them to do. And he goes on and he says, as much bad press as the Church of Satan has received from the media over the past few years, satanic child abuse, sacrifices, etc., mention of the Satanic Bible only points people in our direction. Perhaps that's the plan, after all. The key is to use television and not be used by it. And finally, in the Satanic Bible, this is what he says. One thing stands sure, the standards, philosophy, and practices set forth on these pages are those employed by the most self-realized and powerful humans on earth. In the secret thoughts of each man and woman, still motivated by sound and unclouded minds, resides the potential of the Satanist, as always has been. The sign of the horns shall appear to many now rather than the few, and the magician will stand forth that he may be recognized. So when they're doing the sign of the horns, even if they think, well, this isn't a satanic thing, it sure helps out with the satanic cause. Because the idea is that you're charging up a certain energy, and that takes us back to my original argument. I don't know that Travis Scott worships the devil, but I do know that the symbols that he's employing and charging up this massive amount of energy has dark forces behind it. All right, moving along. 1 hour and 3 minutes and 30 seconds, they play Sicko Mode. And it is very weird because they show us eight flames on the stage. Eight, exactly, the number of casualties. The mountain is filled with all-seeing eyes. Very strange. Then 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 50 seconds, you can see the full crowd. There's clearly a pocket of people not jumping around, which begs this question of why this hadn't spread further. If people are dying in the crowd, how does that not catch on that a lot of people stop and, you know, elevate this thing? I mean, it could add to the argument that the crowd is possessed. Or they're just self-centered assholes. I don't know. Or both, maybe. I mean, some of them are mosh-pitting around dead bodies. What the hell? What's wrong with these people? To defend Travis Scott, he ends the show talking about spreading love and how you should hug your neighbors. And when I was on Clyde Lewis's show, we had a caller from, I believe she was from Houston, and she professed how great Travis Scott was to the community. So, I mean, maybe, right? I don't know. Then he wraps up the show with goosebumps, and a super creepy hand comes out over top of the portal, a soul-harvesting hand. And then it turns into two hands, which is exactly the artwork for Astral World, with the two hands with the all-seeing eyes. And he wraps it up. He tells everyone to get home safely. Very, very eerie. Now, in conclusion, this concert, this version I saw, was certainly different from the clips compiled on TikTok. The clips were from the crowd, which is a much different perspective than what Travis Scott had. But what about when Travis Scott was up on that platform looking right at the ambulance? Couldn't see anything? Plus, the New York Times said that they shut the show down 20 to 30 minutes early. How does he not get inquisitive about why they shut it down early? I don't know. But to be fair, I don't know if it was shut down early, even though the New York Times says that clearly. It certainly seemed like a grand finale with Sicko Mode, Drake, and then Goosebumps. I don't know what other songs he has. I heard all the popular ones. But why? How dumb is it that this thing was literally determined to be a mass casualty event and he's still performing? I mean, it certainly didn't look good, especially when you consider all of his past performances that we discussed, I believe in part two. where he's throwing his microphone at a kid for touching his shoes, this little 120-pound kid. And he definitely embraces and encourages the crowd to rage. That's definitely his thing. So, I mean, I don't know. And I looked up the definition of rage. Violent, uncontrollable anger. But I am also, I'm not sold that I don't have friends that say, hey, you ready to rage? You know, it's like having a party, right? That's how the kids use the term. So now that we've looked at Travis Scott in this event for three full episodes, what's the outcome here? Should we cancel Travis Scott? I never advocate for canceling anyone, first off. It's up to us to determine what we should support or not. I would even argue you could probably still enjoy Travis Scott's music, but know that if you go to shows that are littered with inverted crosses and doves on fire and dark energy, sometimes dark things happen. And then to analyze this event, it gets real dicey when you've got this corporate oligarchy that has the power to manipulate mainstream media and tweak the results of the articles and the videos you see on social media. Like when this first kicked off, I saw a million TikTok videos talking about how it felt like it was a living hell and it felt like there were satanic forces there. And now all of a sudden, there's articles talking about, Rolling Stone's posting articles about, why isn't TikTok censoring these conspiracy theories, and TikTok bowing down, oh yes, yes we will. We will make sure we do a better job. And now I see everything on the other side talking about how, oh, poor Travis Scott, he didn't know. You know, it's just like Drake. I like his music, but I think he's probably a creep. Texting underage girls, allegedly. Same goes for Michael Jackson. I think Michael Jackson messed around with his boys. Does that mean we can't listen to his music anymore? No. Use it as a learning lesson. You got to separate the art from the artist. But you got to have some awareness that your favorite artist might be influencing you into the wrong direction. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, finally, you're probably wondering, you're probably like, Isaac, you said at the beginning we're going to talk about your apology to Travis Scott. But you never said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Travis Scott. Those words never came out of your mouth. Well, that's exactly how he handled this, too. So, as it was when he had his little apology video, he never said sorry. So, to me, it's more of a clarification. But to be fair, on previous shows, I did say, look, I have no idea what Travis Scott knew or saw. And if you force an opinion from me, it seems like maybe he really didn't know, which is very strange when you look at all these other artists that were able to know what was going on in the crowd. So, and look, I'm no expert on concerts. Who gets the blame here? Is it poor communications? Was it the event planning? I mean, they had code words of Smurfs for dead bodies. They had plans, contingency plans. Did they not actually pull it off? Or maybe he did know. I mean, who knows? Clearly, you're not going to get a straight answer at this point. All right. That's all I got for you. You want to follow the conversation? Go to my Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Link in the show notes. You're going to see all kinds of pictures, even more symbolism. I'm going to do probably two posts because I got a lot of photos to dump on you from this show. And then stay subscribed to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast because I'm dropping the mega heat on the Hocus Pocus movie. I know you've seen Hocus Pocus. Did you know you're in for some more satanic panic? Yes, here it comes. The King of Satanic Panic. I'm going to change my name. Making up Satan stuff that doesn't exist, apparently. All right, thanks for listening to the show. And until next time, stay woke.